passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible. If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in a 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
Yes, the phone's ringing.
I heard it.
Well, answer it, darling.
Oh. Hello. Yes, Ned Benson. What? My God, it's Paris calling.
Oh, it must be Tony.
He ought to have his head examined. Hello? Hello, good morning, Tony. Yeah, oh, no, you didn't disturb me. I was just sound asleep. Hell, I know it's 1:30 in Paris, but it's only 7:30 here.
Be gentle with him, Ned. Yeah,
my wife says to be gentle with you. But I should warn you, I never give legal advice before I'm shaved. No, I haven't anything to tell you yet. I'm looking at the divorce laws. Well, at this point, I'd say go to Russia, tell Tavares you don't want to be married, and you're free. Of course, it won't stick in Kansas. Well, that's a joke, Tony. What's the matter? Kate? Oh, that's Holly's department.
Give me the phone, Ned.
Of course, I'd be glad to make Kate my department, but Holly's a bit Victorian. One man, one wife.
Oh, Ned, stop teasing that poor man.
Oh, Holly's getting maternal, Tony. I'm working on your problem. And by the time you get back, I'll have a good divorce lawyer for you. When are you coming home? Right. Here's Holly.
Good morning, Tony, darling. Oh, of course you didn't disturb us. Ned should have been up hours ago.
Oh, wait a minute.
Ned, I'm talking.
Tell him you haven't even gotten up to fill my lunch pail.
Tony, dear, what can we do for you?
Tell him the cost first.
Oh, that's Ned, Tony. He really should sleep through the winter months. No, I haven't seen Kate. What if she's left town? I don't know. It's... Oh, be reasonable, Tony. I can't ask her what she's doing. She's a grown woman. Yes, I see. All right, dear. I'll call her. You'll be home in a week? Oh, of course. We'll be glad to see you.
Yeah, tell him we'll warm the ice cubes for him.
Tony, I'll call the studio club later and see if Kate's gone. Now, just stop worrying. Have a lot of success, darling, and love from us both. Goodbye. Oh, poor Tony. Yeah,
for a guy who thinks he understands women.
Not this girl, apparently. Kate's left town without telling him.
Well, Tony knew she was going away. He even told me.
But he didn't know when. He called the studio club from Paris last night, and they told him Kate had gone on the wings of the wind.
Oh, boy.
Well, you don't talk to Tony like that. He's seething.
If Kate really wants the guy, she couldn't handle him better than she's doing. Now, women have been throwing themselves at Tony for years.
But he's in love.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, Ned, you're so cynical.
Comes from reading the alimony laws. I better go shave.
I'll get up, too. Oh, Ned.
Yeah, what now?
I never told you, did I? Eric Pomeroy called me 2 days ago to get Kate's phone number.
Well, now, there's something you can work on, Holly. He's free, the right age, and looks like a Viking.
But there's something very odd about his family.
Yeah, there usually is.
Oh, it's very old, part British, last of the line sort of thing. He lived in Jamaica the first years of his life.
How in blazes did you find that out?
I talk to people, darling. But he is certainly not for Kate.
Honey, just use that crystal ball to make Jimmy some coffee, will you?
Yes, darling. You know something, Ned? I don't think Tony is going to give Kate up, no matter what happens. There. Oh, I'm all ready. Oh, Trudy, thanks for letting me stay in your apartment last night.
Oh, any time. Hey, you're taking only one bag, Kate?
Well, that's all I need. This isn't exactly a pleasure trip.
Oh, I wish you weren't going alone.
Trudy, I want to.
Well, that's what you keep saying, but... Well, I haven't said this before, and it's too late now, but it doesn't make any sense to me, Kate.
I know. The past 3 months haven't made any sense to me, Trudy. Ever since that day Stephen Wolfe walked into my life, and I learned I didn't even know my own husband.
Your husband wasn't the first man to live two lives.
Oh, but all those days sailing with Tom off Jamaica, that I thought were the most beautiful in my whole life, and I was just being used as a cover-up.
Kate, you think going back down there really can help anything?
Oh, I wish I knew what would really help. I wish I never had to hear the word drugs again. You know, Stephen really believes Tom was trafficking in them and left some hidden down there. I don't intend to look for them. I don't even really want to believe it.
Tell that to Stephen.
He's obsessed. I think he's even unbalanced over this idea of some hidden fortune. But, Trudy, there is something down there.
What?
2 lost years of my life. That's what I want to find. Everything I didn't know about Tom, including the girl he knew at Glory Point.
Oh, Kate!
Her name is Francesca. No, Trudy, it's time for me to go.
This is your roving reporter about to interview a nose.
How do I look?
You're not on TV, Nose. This is for radio.
But how do I sound?
Pretty stuffy. Why don't you use four-way nasal spray?
Is four-way balitic bread?
Not yet, Nose.
Then why should I use it?
Because you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way nasal spray. And four-way can cost a lot less than the leading brand. A lot less. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast. You could interview me now.
Thanks, Nose, but I just did.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Passport, ma'am?
Oh, yes, here you are.
This is Thomas Wakefield. Oh, we have a message for you, Mrs. Wakefield.
Here?
Yes, you were paged a little while ago. You didn't answer it, so it was left here.
Oh, what is it?
You were called to the main information desk, but it's a little late for that now. Most passengers were on board.
I didn't have time to go back?
I wouldn't advise it. It's quite a way. Please give your handbag to that young lady at the security desk.
My handbag?
To test for metal objects.
Oh, of course. They didn't do that the last time I went to Jamaica. No, but that was several years ago.
We test everybody today.
It's a good thing. I'd like to wait here just a few minutes in case there's another message.
Well, it's up to you. Your passport, sir?
I'm not warning you.
Hello, Kate.
Eric Pomeroy.
You do cut it close.
Traffic. We stalled on the bridge. How did you know I was leaving this morning?
I called your office and learned you were gone, so I figured you were taking the morning flight. I'm flying out of here on business in half an hour myself, so I took a chance.
Oh, and you left a message for me then?
I've left messages all over the airport.
Well, that's terribly nice. But why?
I asked myself that. Look, let's stand over here out of the way.
They've been boarding for 20 minutes. That man at the gate has his eye on me right now. So we don't have much time. Eric, is anything wrong?
There must be, or I wouldn't worry about
you. Oh, come on, Eric.
It's my conscience.
That's what you said 2 days ago. Now, why would your conscience be bothered about me?
I can't even explain that. I got up this morning and I said to myself, I've got to see her before she goes.
That's very sweet of you.
No, it isn't. It's pure self-interest. I tell myself she's going to Glory Point. Nothing can stop her.
That's right.
I tell myself it's none of my business.
And maybe that's right, too.
Then I tell myself, you heal, you know the place, you know the house, you know Lewis Pomeroy. You've got to warn her.
Eric, you did. You warned me that I wouldn't like Mr. Pomeroy. But he's not going to eat me.
He is capable of being extremely rude.
That doesn't bother me.
If anyone starts looking around the place, he's capable of being quite a bit more than that.
Eric, I have to board this plane within 3 minutes. Now, what are you trying to tell me?
I had to make one last effort to talk you out of this obsession to go to the one place in Jamaica that might be dangerous.
Don't worry, Eric.
Is anyone meeting you?
No.
Where are you going first?
Let's see, to a hotel in Kingston for the night, and then I'll rent a car and drive to the West Coast tomorrow.
Alone?
Eric, I've been there before.
I'll have to ask you to board the plane now, miss.
Oh, yes, of course. Eric, thanks for seeing me off.
Let them know you're coming, and don't get there after dark.
Eric, I do have one question to ask. Is there anyone living near Glory Point named Francesca?
How did you...
It's obvious that you're already deeper in this than you should be, Kate. Be careful. Please, be careful.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Good day, my dear listeners. Good day. One of you, a gentleman, has penned a most kind, if baffling, letter about this, my novel, Vanity Fair. He says he listens each day whilst driving a taxi. Taxi? What, pray, is a... Ah, taxidermist. Yes, can that be his meaning? Chap who stuffs birds, animals, that sort of thing. I expect so, yes. But drives the taxi, he says. So I fear 'tis some kind of work I've not heard of, and I find no such word in Mr. Johnson's dictionary. Sir, would you be so kind as to write once more explaining your trade? I shall be most beholden. A writer ought not be ignorant in these matters, in any matter for that matter. Well, I am not ignorant in the matter of my characters. Let us turn to Becky Sharp. She only just now is arriving back at the cottage, as the gentle closing of the front door will attest.
Oh, Miss Becky! the whole little house will fall down.
Don't dare say one cross word to me. I've enough trials to plague me.
Oh, you'll say all the cross words, is it?
We've just cause. Oh, Giles, the sky has fallen.
Oh, don't walk to and fro, miss. Come, let me help you with your things.
Oh, I hardly know what I'm doing. Oh, thank you.
What's happened, Miss Becky? Where have you been to?
But you don't know.
Where am I to know when no one tells me? I was to the greengrocer's when you went off. Precious little green in the grocer's this time of year, I must say.
Oh, Lord, she talks of cucumbers when the world is falling apart. I've been to Park Lane.
Ah, poor Miss Becky. The door slammed in your face hard like you slammed it now.
No.
He was inside? You seen Miss Crawley?
No.
Mrs. Bute, outside?
No.
Heck-a-daisy, will you tell or not tell, Miss Becky?
Oh, I can hardly bring myself to utter it.
Oh, that's plain enough.
Or let that woman's name cross my lips. Oh, I saw Miss Briggs.
What? I thought you liked Miss Briggs.
Well, I do like the little mouse.
But you said you couldn't hardly
stop interrupting. That insufferable jackdaw, Mrs. Bute, will journey to see Mrs. Ricketts, and all is lost. Rawdon and I are ruined. We're doomed. Miss Crawley will never forgive us. We'll be paupers. I'll beg in the streets. We'll end in the almshouse. Have you nothing to say?
Well, I've not had half a chance. Could I ask one question?
Ask.
Who be Mrs. Ricketts?
My landlady.
Oh, you've no landlady, Miss Becky. You've Mr. Thistlewood, that's a landlord.
You were deliberately acting the dunce. My landlady when I lived with Papa in her garret.
Oh, well, how about you now? You've never spoke one word of her before.
Oh, I'm sorry. I told you I'm all to pieces. I've not my wits about me.
Oh, well, now, will you begin at the beginning,
Miss? Yes, I'll try to do better. Mrs. Bute means to learn shocking things about my past to turn Miss Crawley more and worse against me.
Oh.
She has the name of Mrs. Ricketts in Chiswick, and she's to travel there next week. And don't say while she's gone, Mr. Rawdon and I will have a chance to see and win Miss Crawley.
Oh, I just was ready to say.
We won't. She sent for the Reverend Bute to come to Park Lane to guard Miss Crawley from us.
Ah, I do say it is very bad, Miss. The sky is surely falling.
Oh, run for your life, chicken little. The sky is falling.
It is a little fairy tale. There was Foxy Loxy and Goosey Lucy and Turkey Lux.
The old fairy tale just told me what to do. Run for my life. Pack.
Beg pardon.
Pack. We'll go to Mrs. Ricketts before ever Mrs. Bute can get there. No. Run first to the barracks with a chit for Mr. Rawdon. I want him with us. Oh, if only he can leave. Oh, quick. Pen and ink.
You're all yourself again, Miss Becky. Praise be.
I've my wits again. I've lived all my life by my wits, and I don't mean to stop now.
Her self again. Which self? Our Becky is a bewildering number of beings. Now then, we've heard that Miss Crawley is not herself. When I take up my pen shortly, we shall see for ourselves. Dear audience, picture, if you can, Miss Matilda Crawley, swaddled in lace, huddled in her bed, dim in her mind from too much laudanum. 'Tis given to quiet her, lest she protest the treatment accorded her by the jailer who keeps her thus. Oh, poor lady. She who loved gaiety dwells now in a grey world provided by Mrs. Bute, who has one end in view, to induce her sister-in-law to alter her will. The fortune meant for Rawdon Crawley must go to the Reverend Bute Crawley. This very day, Mrs. Bute makes her first assault to attain that pious object she has in view.
Are you awake, Matilda?
Becky?
Good gracious, no.
Ask Becky to make hot chocolate.
Dear Matilda, you've forgotten again what has happened.
Rebecca makes hot chocolate better than anyone.
Oh, what am I to do with her?
Where is my hot chocolate?
Matilda, listen to me. Rebecca has gone. She lied to you, cheated and tricked you. She has married Rawdon and gone.
Rawdon? Oh, yes, I should like to see my Rawdon.
Oh, she's as stupid as an oyster. Matilda, you do not wish to see Rawdon, not ever again. You must recollect what he has done to you, after all you've done for him. He has married a designing baggage, and they laugh at you now. They care not a fig that you're ill. Most pitifully ill. And you will not suffer Rawdon to come near you again.
Rawdon? Married?
To Becky Sharp? It is unpardonable what he's done. You said so. You turned them out. Matilda? Do you hear me? Who are you? Where did you come from? I turn you out! Be gone! Go!
I am your sister-in-law. I have come away from your dear brother, Butte, in the country to sacrifice myself here for you to restore our dear invalid. Scarcely have I closed my eyes since my arrival. I give up sleep, health, comfort to my sense of duty for you.
What is that bell? Ringing and ringing.
Only the scissors grinder clanging his bell.
Oh, I must run out for the moth scissors and Papa's razor and the carving knives. The magical wheel will give them ever so sharp an edge. Call out the window and tell the scissors man Nilly is coming.
He's leaving now. He's gone.
Now, Matilda. Oh, then I shall play croquet with Pitt and Butte. Are they in the nursery?
Your brothers are not here, and you are not a little girl. You are a woman grown. You are very ill, thanks to Rawdon and Rebecca Sharp, and that clumsy apothecary has given you too much laudanum.
Rebecca, Rawdon, they are wed, Mrs. Butte. They have done this wickedness to me. I shall never, never forgive them.
How sensible you are, my dear. And now I'm sure you will be even more sensible. You must alter your will. You do not surely want your money in the hands of that unscrupulous Sharp and that ungrateful Rawdon. There is no time to lose. Will I send at once for the solicitor?
What? Solicitor? Oh, then I am dying. I'm dying.
No, you're not so much better.
Oh, if it's urgent, I alter my will, then death is at my door. Don't lie to me, Mrs. Butte. I know I am dying, I know.
No, hush, I can't send for it. Of course I can't. You must be rid of this foolish notion. Now do lie quiet. Stop thrashing about. Matilda?
Oh, thank you. Oh, I miss her many ways. Always she could make me laugh. You can't make me laugh. You are a funeral in my room.
Nothing here is a laughing matter, Matilda. Have I told you Butte is coming to see you?
Butte? Why would Butte come here?
Because you are his dear sister. And because I must be absent from your bedside for a day next week. I had thought not to go, but I see now I must. Oh, yes, indeed, I must.
Go. Do. The little Sharp will be there before you. That is, if all goes as planned. One never knows in Vanity Fair, does one? Even I. I, your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. Been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an O-Cedar Angler Broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O-Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. O-Cedar makes your life easier.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold day. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we can save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
Hi, dear. You're home early tonight.
You know why? Let me tell you.
Yeah, before you tell me that, let me tell you that I have some good news.
What?
I finally talked to the doctor at the hospital in Montana, and Aunt Maggie's doing marvelously.
Oh, good.
Oh, I finally got somebody who knew something.
Well, if anybody should know, it's the doctor.
He said Aunt Maggie came through the operation with flying colors. He just put the pin in her hip. Oh, and guess who else I talked to?
I don't know. Who?
Aunt Maggie.
Aunt Maggie?
Aunt Maggie?
I thought she didn't have a phone in her room.
She's up and walking around.
What, with a broken hip already?
Yep.
Wasn't she operating on Saturday?
Yes, well, I was talking to the doctor. He said, if you don't believe me or the head nurse that your Aunt Maggie is doing as well as can be expected.
Yes?
Then he laughed and he said, you can hear it straight from the horse's mouth. And suddenly it was Aunt Maggie saying, hello.
Well, I'll be darned.
And then she said, I don't like my doctor referring to me as a horse. And then she said, I am just fine.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She said they have her up and walking about, and she goes down to physical therapy, and she walks about an hour. Well, she walks in a walker. She's not quite on her own yet, but even the doctor said that in 6 weeks she'd be as good as new.
Well, bless her heart.
Yeah, and then Marvel,
pretty good news, huh?
Oh, Seven's so worried. Well, what's your news?
No, it's not as great as that. It's just something I figured out.
No, honey, could you sit over there? I'm trying to get dinner. You always follow me around when you're talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure.
Sorry. Guess what we're having for dinner? Something you just love.
Well, I don't know. Give me a clue.
PR.
Pot roast.
Yes, your favorite.
Oh, thanks, honey.
Oh, thanks. So, what's your news?
Well, as I said, it's not news exactly, but I figured out a way to drive home that has saved me 8 minutes.
What?
Yeah, 8 minutes. Instead of coming Route 8 or over the mountain road...
That's the only two ways to get here.
Oh, well, yes, I still come over the mountain road, but before I get there, this is what I did.
You want to take your overshoes off? You're dripping all over the floor.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, that's all right.
Well, anyhow...
Well, before I forget, the furnace man called. He can't get the part we need for the furnace. Apparently, our furnace is somewhat out of date, and the furnace man said that eventually we're going to need a new furnace.
Great.
Or a burner or something like that. Well, go on with your news.
As I said, it's not news. It's just that I figured out that when I leave the office, instead of going down Main Street and around the rotary circle...
Hey, Alex. Honey, now go lie down. Go lie down, Mom. I'll feed you when I finish getting your daddy's dinner. Alex, go lie down. I'll lie down for Mom.
Oh, well, forget it.
What's the matter?
You're always talking to the dog when I'm trying to talk to you.
Well, I'm sorry, dear. He was underfoot. He wants his dinner. You would be so hungry all the time.
Well, I'm hungry, too.
Sometimes I think you're jealous of the dog.
Sometimes I think I am, too. He's in my chair when I get home, or he jumps on me whenever I kiss you.
Yeah, I think he's jealous, don't you? Look, I'm with him all day. Now, well, forget the dog. Now, what is your news?
As I said, it's not news. It's just that I figured out how to drive home in less time.
How? Oh, Cheech. Now, go and sit down. I'm sorry, dear. It's dinner time. The cat and dog want
to
be fed.
It is almost impossible to talk to you.
Go ahead, dear. I'm all yours.
Okay. Instead of going down Main Street when I leave the office and around the rotary circle...
Which is always a nuisance anyway.
Right. Oh. Instead, I turn left from the office, go down Walnut for 4 blocks, missing that light at First and Fourth. Then, instead of driving down Elm Street...
Dear.
Instead of driving down Elm Street, I take a left at... Well, what?
You have your foot in the dog's water dish.
Oh,
well, I'm sorry, dear.
You're more worried about whether I'm getting my foot wet or contaminating the dog.
Both.
More likely the dog.
Why are you picking on poor Alex?
I am not picking on him. It's just that it's impossible to hold a conversation with you, especially if the dog wants his dinner.
Oh, honey, forget Alex. Now go on with what you're saying. I am all ears.
Okay.
Practically. Yeah.
Anyhow, Bill Climie told me about this shortcut through that dead-end street which turns right at Beechnut.
Yeah.
And I took that.
Yeah.
Cut across the park, eliminating that traffic light at 6 and 10.
Yeah.
And then I cut in back of the old railroad station coming out on Beechwood. What's the matter?
Your sleeve in the salad dressing.
Huh? Oh.
Let me wipe it off. Now, that's your good coat, too.
So I then cut off three traffic lights circling around the old turkey farm on that back road, which they keep plowed out, and getting on the mountain road 2 miles closer than before.
Yes.
Well, that's it.
What's it? So what?
So I saved 8 minutes getting home.
Wonderful. What are you going to do with them?
What do you mean?
What are you going to do with the 8 minutes you saved getting home? Well, now what did I say that's wrong?
You can take the joy out of life quicker than anybody I know.
What did I say wrong? I just asked what you're going to do with the 8 minutes you saved. Isn't that the point of the story?
Okay. I'll tell you. Just give me 2 minutes, And I'll tell you.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Well, I finished the dinner dishes. There's no help from Debbie as usual. Oh, Bob, I wish you'd speak to her. I get absolutely nowhere with it.
Well, just ask her to help you.
Oh, I do. I did. She had studying, and I don't like making her do dishes when she has studies. Just the same, I often wonder how often Debbie has studying to do and uses that as an excuse, you know.
I think I'll go to bed early, as soon as I finish the paper.
All right, dear. Something wrong? You haven't said a word at dinner.
No, I'm all right.
Oh, honey, I know you. Anything wrong at the office?
No. At least, nothing I know of. You want part of the paper?
Well, sure, whatever you finished with. The back section? Finished with that?
Why do you always read the obituaries first?
I don't know. Maybe just because I'm glad it's not me. Why are you so funny this evening?
I'm not funny, as you put it.
Well, something's wrong. I know that.
Okay. You just got my goat when you asked me what I did with the 8 minutes I saved driving home.
Honey, why should that upset you?
I don't know. I just got to thinking you were right.
About what?
Why did I feel so good about saving 8 minutes? I didn't do anything with those 8 minutes saved after I got home.
Oh, Bob, for heaven's sake, dear, I was just joking.
Oh, no, Peg. You were right.
I don't know why. Why you're so upset, I really don't.
Well, because I feel I should be doing something with those 8 minutes. I saved them, 8 minutes of my life. I saved them.
Oh, I know how you feel. I think so many times we say, well, I have to kill time until I meet so-and-so, and then I think... Kill time? What an expression. Isn't that terrible? I mean, why are we killing it when we have so little time, right? I mean, we have one lifetime, and it's so short.
Yeah, right. Or we say something about, oh, there's plenty of time. Right. Don't worry about it. Well, there isn't plenty of time. We're a long time dead.
That's so true.
We should all be doing things instead of killing time.
True.
Well, what can we do?
Tonight, you mean?
No, anytime.
When I merely asked what you were going to do with the 8 minutes that you saved, I didn't mean to put you into the doldrums or make you so philosophical tonight.
Yeah, I know. But I've been sitting here thinking of how much time we do waste constantly.
True.
We always think we've got so much time ahead of us to do things, and we really haven't.
I know.
Seems only yesterday I was trying to decide what to be when I grew up. Well, right now, I've been grown up for quite some time.
No, Bob.
Suddenly, the day comes when you think, why, I am never going to be a doctor, or an archaeologist, or a scientist, or a concert pianist. I mean, the time is now, and this is me. That's it.
Yeah. I know what you mean. My grandmother always said that was the worst part of growing old. She said, there's no point in making up daydreams anymore, because you know you're never going to do them anyway. But, Bob, darling, even so, not...
It's depressing.
Yeah.
Here it is, 1976. I just can't believe it.
Well, you've already saved 8 minutes in 1976. Now, that should cheer you up, honey.
But I did nothing with the 8 minutes I saved.
Oh, Robert Baxter, here's a list on the desk of New Year's resolutions that you made. Somewhere, right here on the desk. Here we are. Repair lock on basement door, oil hinges that squeak, plain off door that sticks
bathroom
door.
Peg.
Finally, put picture wire on painting that has been hidden behind sofa for 5 years.
I knew I should never have opened my mouth. Okay.
Now, honey, if you do one of these little chores in the 8 minutes that you save every night, isn't that marvelous?
Yeah. Night? Oh, that's great. That's heavenly.
Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. Have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
It's a handsome-looking table, Ginger.
It does look nice, but that centerpiece...
A little high?
I told the florist it was for a dinner table, and look what he did.
Well, maybe it'd be better on the buffet.
Well, then I wouldn't have anything for the center of the table, Mark.
Well, I'm sure the Carters won't mind. I think they'd be more interested in conversation than in playing peekaboo.
But I want the table to look nice. We've never had them to dinner before.
Betsy won't be joining us.
Oh, they're having tryouts for the next play, and Betsy's up for the lead.
Ah, that's great.
Oh, I'm glad she's been accepted in the Drama Society. You know, the sexton's daughter, Janie, is a member.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you'd be a little more enthusiastic. You know the sextons are important people. They can help you get ahead.
Well, I don't think you should involve our daughter in furthering my career.
It never hurts to think of things like that. Don Sexton carries a lot of weight on the hospital board.
Ginger, it's tough enough to have to play bridge with them now and then. I don't want Betsy to be chummy with their daughter for my sake. If she's anything like her parents.
I don't know why I bother.
Ginger, I think I'm a pretty good doctor, and I also think I can manage my professional life without...
Without me, is that it?
I was going to say without manipulation, but maybe it's the same thing.
You just refuse to understand, Marsh. And it's not just for you, it's for Betsy, too.
Let her choose her own friends?
She needs guidance. How can I trust her judgment?
Well, I don't see why not.
That's interesting. Particularly since you've been so anxious to tell her she was adopted.
Well, that's progress. You brought the subject up yourself.
Marsh, I did it only because it bears on what's right for Betsy.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't get the connection.
We never found out what her real mother was like.
What are you getting at?
I think we have to be doubly careful to make sure Betsy doesn't make the same mistakes that her real mother did.
Em, I have a feeling this is a mistake.
Jason, we had a very pleasant evening when the Fosters were here for dinner.
Yeah, I guess so.
honey. Which tie do you think?
The one Jennifer gave you. Well, what do you have against ties that light up in the dark and say, kiss me quick?
Oh,
well, at least now Ginger and Angela talk to each other.
You really sure that's an achievement?
Oh, yes. Since Ginger's jealousy was almost paranoid, and Angela was thinking of leaving Jefferson.
Yeah, well, I suppose I can force myself to have a good time tonight.
Oh, do that, dear.
But it'll go on, you know, on and on. We'll ask them back, and then they'll ask us.
Well, you like Marsh.
Oh, sure, and I see him every day.
We might play bridge tonight.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jason, if you just put your mind to it.
Well, it's not the game, honey.
Well, what then?
Well, everyone's worst qualities come out in any sort of competition. I don't want to see things get any tougher for any of us.
I have an appointment with Marsh next week, you know.
Yes, I know. Tell me, dear, how'd the day go?
Oh, all right.
What happened?
I just got a little dizzy.
Em, are you resting in the afternoon?
Darling, I didn't get dizzy because I was tired. You see, I've got this thing in my head.
Oh, Em.
Oh, come on, Jay.
Em, we doctors don't like to hear you civilians kidding around about a serious matter like a brain tumor.
I know, but, darling, if I don't, who will?
Honey, you're not in this alone.
I know. It affects you and the family, too, and that's the hardest part.
Well, now, don't you worry about us.
I'm trying not to worry. I'm trying to think. In a way, I wish I knew what was to come. But then again, well, no one ever knows, do they?
I just don't know, mm-hmm. Marsh. Mm-hmm. Stuart is a bright young kid, but mouthing off like that to Dr. Schaefer.
Oh, Schaefer deserves it most of the time.
I've never tried it.
I did the same thing to him the other day.
Marsh, Emily's glass could stand a refill, dear.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry.
You know, you wouldn't think these two saw each other every day. Oh, just a small one, Marsh, please. So, where's your Susie tonight?
She's at the drama club tryout.
Oh, so is Betsy. I didn't know Susie was a member.
Mm-hmm. They're going to do James Barry's What Every Woman Knows.
That's a surprising choice.
Why?
Well, as I remember, it's all about how women can manipulate their husbands by being charming.
So, you've got something against feminine charm?
No, not at all. But when it's used as a device to control...
You know, I agree with you, Marsh.
Well, sometimes it's the only way to get husbands to do things.
Well, it's been the system for a long time.
Well, darling, that doesn't make it right.
Well, I'm not sorry to see it changing, and I'm glad it's happening in time to do Betsy some good.
Well, I still think the best thing for a girl is a good marriage.
Well, it might be the best, Ginger, but is it the only thing?
Well, of course, some women are not suited for marriage.
Nor are some men.
And here's hoping they'll always find each other.
I'd drink to that if I had one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jason. One coming up.
Yeah, wait a minute, Marsh. I'll give you a hand. Marsh, tell me, do you have any ideas for a good location for a children's clinic?
You mean the one your stepmother's planning?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, maybe the city health department would have some information.
Yeah, I never thought of that. It's a good idea. The area with the highest infant and child mortality mm-hmm. rate.
Let's see. What would be some of the other factors?
Let's see now. Very important. Proximity to available transportation.
Yeah, that's right. Bus and surface line.
Right. And nowadays, community acceptance is a factor.
Yeah. Jason, are you sure she wants to go ahead with it? It is a big operation.
Oh, Marshall, difficulties are catnip to Caroline.
I know Marsh doesn't agree with me, but I'm still going to try to get him to change his mind.
But what does Betsy want?
She's only 16, Emily. What do children of that age know about what's best for them?
Well, maybe more than we give them credit for.
Well, I think a good private boarding school will do her a lot of good.
I don't know, Ginger. I just can't imagine sending our Susie away to school. And she's the same age as Betsy.
Wouldn't you miss her? Oh, of course I would, but I'm thinking of her future.
Well, she's getting good grades, isn't she?
Yes, but at a good school, she'd be able to make more friends.
Yes, but will that do her much good if she's...
Jason, I know you feel you need Angela, but maybe she ought to take a vacation.
Oh. Okay, Marsh, I'll talk to her about it.
You know, she worked more than 60 hours last week.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, she shouldn't be doing that to herself.
I know. Well, we're shorthanded in the supervisory nursing staff, so naturally she jumped in.
Yeah, which means she won't take any time off.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
You know, Marsh, we have to give some thought to replacing Joe Gonzalez if he leaves to manage the clinic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dinner's all ready.
Well, I better open the wine then. Oh, where's the corkscrew?
Well, it should be right there. Oh, I'll find it.
Darling?
Hmm?
Everything okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
You look a little disturbed.
Well, Ginger's been telling me she wants to send Betsy away to school, and I was thinking about our girls.
Oh? How do you mean?
Why, I just can't conceive of sending them away to school, and yet if I get worse...
Now, honey, that's not going to happen.
How do you know?
I mean, we're not going to break up our family for any reason, so just don't you worry about it.
Even if they don't leave us, what about when I leave them?
Features Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily, and Michael Storm as Marsh. Also appearing were Vicki Vola and Sherita Bauer. Produced by Ernie Ricca, directed by Dick Cox, written by Mary Dornheim, and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.